Let's stand to our feet. Page 283 in the spiral book. God's wonderful people.
Oh, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Oh, what joy His love affords when we meet in one accord and we lift our hearts in praise unto the Lord. There's no place I'd rather be than with the ones who've been set free. I'm so glad I'm in God's great big family. Oh, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God. It can be just anywhere, two or three are gathered there, that the Spirit of the Lord will be there too. There's no fellowship so sweet, there's not a thrill that can compete with the thrill I feel whenever God's children meet. Oh, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. On that great reunion day, when our Lord says, come away, and the saints from every land sweep through the gates, joining loved ones round the throne, at last we'll all be gathered home. That will be the greatest thrill we've ever known. Oh, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people.
Amen. Good afternoon. Let's see one Willis this afternoon. Remember the ones traveling? Let's see them. Keep them safe. Let's be with them. Remember the request we had from this morning? Brother Donnie was asking for Sister Susan. She's still sick. And still remember Mom. Be with her and bless her. Keep her. Also, Brother Mark. Steve V, as a close friend of his, passed away. And we just remember the wife and the family in that tough situation. So just remember that. Little Zoe gave me one. It says, my friend Brianna has a heart problem. So remember If she's got a friend that's got a heart problem, then she's got a little kid that's got a heart problem. So we need to remember that with a special prayer. Also, Brother John Gimme once says, please remember his wife Alicia's mom. She's back in the hospital. Pray for her healing. So just remember that. And Brother John's mother-in-law is in the hospital. So remember that. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that will be traveling this afternoon. Just be with them and guide them and keep them safe. Lord, there was many requests that was mentioned, whether it be unspoken or spoken requests. Lord, you know what the needs are and what the situations are. Just come down and bless them all, Lord. The ones that are sick, heal their bodies. The ones that are sin sick, save their soul. Ones that are lost loved ones, Lord, come down and be passionate to them and help them. Just help the families in those situations. Be with us the rest of the service. Forgive us for all of our sins, and we love you for your many, many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Page 448.
There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day.
Once again.
Oh, there's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day.
I want to live the way He wants me to.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Once again, I want to live.
I want to live the way me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. For I could never ever outlove the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so full and free.
Once again,
oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so pure and so fearing. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. One more time. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Amen. Is that what we want to do? Don't miss your opportunity. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing. The windows of heaven. The windows of heaven are open. Remember Sister Esther? Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Amen.
Oh, the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. 'Cause there's joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garment, and He gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Oh, that's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy tonight. 'Cause I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave Him my old tattered garment, and He gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
Windows of heaven.
Oh, the windows of heaven are open, and the blessings are falling tonight. Because there's joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave Him my old tattered garment, and He gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. That's why I'm happy. Oh, that's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy tonight. 'Cause I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave Him my old tattered garment, and He gave me And I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy.
Why don't you shake somebody's hand? Tell them God bless you.
Oh, the windows of heaven are open. And the blessings are falling tonight. Because there's joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment. And he gave me a robe of pure wine. And I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight.
Give the Lord a clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I hope you're happy. Happy because the word's going forth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Mark, if you want to help us take up our offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. As Brother Mark comes out, I don't know if anybody had a special and didn't get to tell me or anything. Mano Roger, usted canta. Brother Roger, he's from Venezuela here, and he's a brother I met. he lives in Tennessee now, but I met him back in 2010 at Brother Andre Head's wedding. And so he was there, and so it was a surprise to have him full time in the country now, you know. And then Brother Nettie and his wife, they're from Chile. So it just happened that we're just one big family, amen, from all over the world, amen. We're just happy to have everybody here with us. So we're just gonna go ahead and bring Brother Dale out, and so let's just sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart."
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. To see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory.
Amen.
Pour out your power and love.
See him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. You gonna do from there?
I was gonna start over there.
Okay, he's gonna start somewhere. We got a double header going today, so we'll get it all worked out. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our visitors with us. Some maybe have been here. You know, we always say, when you come as a visitor one time. Next time, you're one of us. Because that's just the way it is. We don't have nothing to join, nothing like that. We're just trusting in the Lord. Amen? And it's good to see everybody. Remember, Wade in June is traveling back from Brother, preaching for Brother Oltig. I don't know where he's doing this evening or not, but he's ministering for Brother Oltig. So remember that. And remember now the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock. Now for the adults. So we'll state it to where you'll remember it. The adults is from 6 o'clock till 8. All right. The children are from 2 o'clock till up to the time of the starting of the service for the others, because they have their parts and things that they're doing. And, you know, and questions and answers. They've got a whole lot of questions. I'm not making no joke, but I saw one of them that wanted to know what the third pool was. You know, instead of third pool, they was wanting to know what the third pool pool was. So, but that's all right. We'll get the right answer somewhere in there and find out what's being said. So we just, you know, appreciate it. So remember that, 2 for the children now, and then you'll have your times, and then 6 will be for the adults and the children together for questions and answers. We have a really good turnout. Most of the time it's between 30 to 50 on the time there, you know, and that's good for you to come and just to come fellowship together. So come, bring your questions, and we'll try to discuss them. It's not that much to doing, as we really just discuss a lot of things. And that's the way I like it. I enjoy just sitting down and saying, well, is that what you mean? You know, I like it that way better than to pass over you and not know, you know, get the wrong point about the questions and answers. So remember that. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn to Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Ecclesiastes 3. Ephesians 1, Ecclesiastes 3. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and love, Lord. Thank you for everything. And we ask you that you would just guide us and direct us as to what to say to your people. And help us, Lord, to realize realization that you're God and you change not. Lord, we'll see into this in our thoughts and ideas that you never change. So then it's easy to follow you through the dispensations in your word, because they'll everyone turn out to be the same and point to the right order. We love you and we thank you. Bless and God. Remember Wade and them traveling, the different ones, Aaron and them back from Tennessee, and just have your way with each and every one. Thank you for being with Dale and many the testimonies that we've heard, Lord, of how much things is going. He's wanting to go home. He's wanting something to eat. He's wanting all the things. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We ask you to guide us. Forgive our sins and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, when, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What is the mystery of his will? To adopt us. That's just as plain as can be, as the thoughts you'll see. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who has trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, when the Bible speaks it like that, it means singular. There is no more. See, it doesn't just say we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It says with that. It's making a point, that, singular, bringing it out, a promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, because we'll pick our thought after we get on over into the message a little. Verse 3 says, now you hear this quoted, there's a time for all things. That's not in the scripture. It's not a time for all things. Because that would mean there would be a time to die. You'd have a problem. It doesn't say it. Now listen. Read it right there as you're seeing it. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's not a time for it. There's a time to it. Okay? A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. So you get the point from that, that it's not saying it's a time for, because there's this, if you make it for, you would make it the wrong thing. But there is a time to, or a time this will take place. Are you following me? The time will take place that it's to a time to kill, a time to steal, a time to do. It will take place, but it's not just set like plam and that's it. And you say, well, is there time for that? No, it's a time to that. So remember that as we go along. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're trying to, Brother Luis is going to interpret, so I'm very slow anyway, but I will try to slow down just a little bit, and that will help him to follow on in interpreting. All right. Now, we read in Ephesians that there's a dispensation of adoption. All right? A dispensation. What is a dispensation? It's a time or a set point, a thought or something, you know, as a dispensation. It's something made. Now, you study in the message, you'll do this, run across it. You'll hear Brother Branham, and I'm going to put it on here. I like to do that to where that you can think about what it is. You'll hear him say, I am not a dispensationalist. All right? But then in another message, maybe the next, or maybe that same message, he said, I am a dispensationalist. All right? Now, he's saying it both ways, and you say, well, what is he? Which one is he? We'll read, you know, where he says he's a dispensationalist, and we'll all be dispensationalists. All right? That's true if you believe, now listen, that we're living in a dispensation, a time. A place, a point. That's more or less the dispensation. It's something set. And we're living in a set time. There was a time, as I'll read in a minute, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, now that doesn't mean it's gone. Now listen, it doesn't mean it was here and then left. See, that would be if you were just saying, I believe in a dispensation. You'd just say, well, I believe in a dispensation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, then you would be backing out, see, from that and would be saying, I don't believe that's here anymore. It may be carnal for you to my way of thinking, but see, Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he never changes his nature, his ways, and beings. He doesn't change down through there because he's the same. But there's a time to things. All right? Now, don't misunderstand. As I said, then don't think there's a time far. See, the baptism, there's not a time for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's my point. We've always said, you listen to anybody quoting Ecclesiastes, 90% of the time they will quote a time for all things. Or they'll say in the Bible there's a time. There's not a time for. It's a time to. See, that way you can have a dispensation, move into another dispensation, have them running parallel with each other or together, and it's not one being far and the other one not. It's a time to. All right, that's okay. Now, I have to express things my way, and I didn't want you to, especially you that study the message of the prophet, to when I would say, Brother Branham is a dispensationalist. Well, I got quotes where he says he ain't. Well, okay, I've got them too. All right, then you'd say, he'd say, I don't believe in dispensation. So, well, he don't believe in dispensation. Did he say, I do believe in dispensation? Well, now you got to get it clear what he's talking about. Okay? So there's a dispensation for this, a dispensation for this, a dispensation, and they all can overlap each other. All right? There's a dispensation throughout the ages of justification. See? All right, then there's a dispensation of sanctification. Does that do away with justification? No. They go together. See, and that's why that you hear the prophet say, I'm not a dispensationalist. Then he'll say, I am a dispensationalist. Read what he's talking about. So, that, you know, that will get you a time to all things. Not far, to. It'll clear it up to you to help you. Okay. Now, what is our point? Talking about in the Bible using the terminologies of adoption. Okay? And in that form we have Paul picking up, especially using the words adoption. Peter doesn't necessarily use the word adoption, but he's covering it through the statue of a perfect man in 2 Peter. But Paul is covering the word of adoption. I like Paul's writings. I don't discredit the others, but I like Paul's writings because Paul's writings are specific. They're to the point. You know, they say what they mean and mean what they say, and it all comes out to the right order. Okay? All right? See, Paul in Galatians, he'll be talking about adoption. Okay? He'd be coming through and showing you the forms of adoption, which he's taking the Old Testament. That's, you know, one reason I love you. You think it doesn't mean nothing, but, dear, you know, I try to explain things and I shouldn't a lot of times, but I like for everybody to understand. See, isn't it odd that Paul wrote the communion message, explained the communion? But Paul wasn't there with the Lord Jesus when the communion was served. Peter explains other things. Why would it not have been for Peter to explain the communion? See, because Peter was not an Old Testament form in his studies and bringing it forward. Paul could take anything back into the Old Testament. Because he had all of that background, that studying of the Word of God. So he would know what happens in the communion. And knowing, like Wade was bringing out that time, you know, that there'd be a plate left. This is for Elijah. Well, see, Paul was the only one that would have known that. Others would have not have known, you know, those things. Paul had that set background understanding. So in his understanding, he understood adoption. And he would try to explain it. How that in the Old Testament they had the son born into the family. All right? He's a son. He's an heir. He's a child for that family. Okay? Then Paul picks it up and shows that he's given a tutor, a governor, a schoolmaster, as we read in Galatians there, 4:3, 4:5. And he's given those to tutor him and bring him to the position of the nature of the Father. All right? So Paul understands what that's saying. See, he's following it from the point of the son being a son. Then the son is brought into deeper meanings. You know, sonship becomes a greater word for the father when he becomes, oh, Zach ain't here, but he'll get it one of these days when he finds out, and that baby there, and, you know, and all of everything. It changes things when you got children, right? You start understanding a little bit more about what the Bible's saying when it says, beat a child and it won't die. Whoa. but that's what it says. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, for you to beat them with a big old stick and ram them over the head and beat them to death. No. All right, we know better than that. But it's just that point. But see, Paul, he uses his term to say a son is born into the family. And he says, then the father gives the son a tutor, a raiser, to teach him. And he tries to instill into that child the nature of the father to where he can run the business, to do the things, etc. And he comes to the point that he can be trusted. All right? And then, see, Paul then does a marvelous point because, as I said this morning, I emphasize this point, that there is no third stage of adoption in the Old Testament. There's not something that you go on to.
That's right. Amen.
It stops there. It stops. It has the sonship, and then it has the tutor and the manifestations and the thing. But then it just kind of, it stops because that's what it's typing. All right. But then when Paul comes to the New Testament, he uses that as a background looking at it, and he says, okay, now. He brings out adoption as to being the son coming into the family, and that's the new birth, right? The new birth, you come into the family of God by the new birth, then you have your tutor or trainer, which is the Holy Ghost, to teach you these things, and it brings you to a place to where you can call it sonship, which means that the son is getting more of the nature of the father. And it's coming into what God has wanted, he wants us to be. All right? Then he brings it into that as manifestation, there from Romans 8, that he brings the manifestation of the sons and daughters of the living God to where that they can have God's nature, his ways, his authority, all of the things. But then there's more to it. And Paul sums it up as we were bringing the 23rd verse of Romans 8 there, to where he covers then that it's, Paul says, the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body. See, he's picked that Old Testament point up into a higher order and bring in clearer understanding of what it means for us, but then he's bringing it to the redemption of the body because that's the one thing that we need, and that's what man has always missed. I'm not throwing off on nobody's doctrine or ideas or denominations or whatever. That's them. But they just didn't have the understanding. Now, some of them taught about these things. We talked about adoption in the Baptist church. We had things. We had studies on adoption in the Baptist church. All right? We had some things we understood, but yet we couldn't bring it out clearly. In other words, it never went to where we went this morning. Where we go this morning, what it brought to a point of what? That it come to the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body, to understand the redeeming of this body.
Right.
Now, see, that's contrary to denominationalism and half of the messagisms. Now, if that's wrong for me to say it that way, I'm just saying it. Most of the people of this message believe you're going to get a new body. Now, you wouldn't think that would still be when, after all, the prophet has said that it's this body redeemed. See, he taught this body redeemed, not get you a new one. But see, us in our denominations, I'm serious, not making no joke, but we believe that the Holy Ghost was enough to save us. But we just didn't bring him as enough in him to be able to redeem these bodies. Cause I gotta smoke, I gotta drink, I gotta chew, I gotta do, you know, you're all tied up in life. And you're saying, I can't help that. Well, the Bible says you can. So that's, you know, but that's the point. See, then when you come to sin, Paul brings it into a wonderful situation that then he takes it from the sonship part, takes it on into the redeeming of this body. The Bible says we'll have a glorious body like unto his body. See? What do you want, a new body? Did Jesus raise in a different body, or was it the same body that went down? Now, according to my Bible, he came forth with nail prints in his hands. I mean, that's according to the Bible, that he had the nail prints. He didn't have a new body. He had that body made new. And that's what I want. I don't want another body. I've enjoyed this old guy I live in. You know, I think he's the best looking fellow there is in the country. And my wife will agree with you. In secret. Huh? But think about it now. See? We're the adoption that he's bringing, there was nothing to show in that Old Testament about redeeming this body. Are you with me? I'm trying to make the point of the message to relate it in, and I try to tie each service together. See, there was nothing back there talking about this. It was always going to get anew. Going to get anew. See, even when you come into the New Testament, Paul and them understood we was not going to get a new body. But they lost that understanding down through the ages and come out with that we're going to get a new body. Well, why would we want a new body? Why would we want a different body from what we live in? See? That wouldn't be anything. That's not redemption. That's replacement. See? You say, well, I believe in redemption. Well, but I'm going to get me a new body. You know, I got smoky cigarettes. I can't stand it without it. See? You understand? There's a lot to the Bible. That if we get it clear, it'll bring out a lot of points to where that we would understand. See, when that, then it's the redemption of this body that you and I are concerned with. I'm not concerned right now with a rapture. I'm not. Well, don't you want to go to heaven? Why? Because according to my understanding of the Bible, wherever God is where I want to be. Well, I thought he was right here. I thought he was here living in his people. Well, why do I want to go to heaven? He's not there. He's in his people down here. See? And ain't it glorious that one day we'll finish the whole thing up right here? You mean out of the, don't you think, feel glorious about it? That out of the universe of it is, of all of the stars, the moons, the planets, the things that are, that God chose this to be the center of the universe, and we're going to live right here? We're not going to live somewhere else. We're not going to Pluto, Mars, or whatever. We're going to be right here. Why? Because this is where we come from. That's where our bodies come from. Our bodies come out of this earth. Right? Why would we want to go to another? I get on one thought like that, and it gets me because, you know, it gets me because people don't see the simplicity of the truth. But it gets me to think of the joy that we can have about what we do see. All right. So then, are you following me now? This morning we were doing that. The child born into the family. Types. The baptism of the Holy Ghost that you receive through Jesus Christ. All right. Then, sonship comes into view in the Old Testament as the Son is brought up through the nature and the things of the Father until a time of his inheritance rights or his doing that bar mitzvah thing, you know, the son of so-and-so is what it means. Well, I can give you definitions a lot of times, but I can't pronounce the words. But that's all right. But see, it comes to that position. But then it broke off back there because there was no way to, it was not even a way there to talk about redemption as to understand. Now, there were things said in the Bible because that's what we're going to get to. See, adoption is a mystery. We read it in Ephesians. It's a mystery. You know what a mystery is? Something that's not understood. Is that a good definition for a mystery? Something that's not fully understood is mysterious. Well, see, there was nobody in the Old Testament could bring out the mystery. And now the disciples, when they begin, Paul is bringing this out. He's bringing out the mystery. We read it there in Ephesians. The mystery of adoption. All right? Now, what's this about a dispensational part as we talk about? See, and you'll see why Brother Branham would one time say he didn't believe in a dispensation, another time he wouldn't. See, I believe in a dispensation that contains all of the things of adoption. If it's going to be a dispensation of adoption, then that means everything about redemptive plan is included in that dispensation. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, bringing you up through the body of Christ, bringing you out through the stature of a perfect man, bringing you to sonship. All of it is in that dispensation. And that's Hebrews 13:8. Amen. It never changes. Right. So Brother Run said, I believe in dispensation. As we'll read in a minute. But then when he would say, I don't believe in dispensation, would be for you to go apart on something and break off and not put it all together. See, if you can't put it all together, it's not a dispensation. It's a split condition. And it may not be the way to say it, but that's what it is. It's not a dispensation. A dispensation is really a time to that. You know, you can call it into the, you know, I've looked it up, so go ahead and you look it up and you'll see it. It's a dispensation can go to leadership. It can go to, ministries and things like that. But I like the point of just putting it in plain language. A dispensation is a time. That's why I chose Ecclesiastes, because I was thinking one day and I thought, well, what would I put there? And it is Ecclesiastes says a time to. Not a time for, a time to. Because that way, you got Hebrews 13:8. See, this that we're talking about now, of the dispensation, and going to bring in to talk about the adoption of situation, you realize what I'm getting at? The disciples had this. But they didn't have the redemption of the body. You know what I mean? They didn't have that to take it on to the change. They had the understanding. Paul had the understanding that the Lord would descend from heaven with a shout. He had to understand it. But he never reached that position. He's in the grave today. The Apostle Paul is in the grave today waiting on you and I, according to Hebrews 11:40, that they without us cannot be made perfect. He's waiting. All of those people are waiting. Awaiting a time to. Not a time for. That would be something you look out there. Well, we'll get out there one of these days. We'll find it out there. Or, well, we done went through it back yonder. You remember the story now? We're not looking back. We're not looking forward. We're trying to look right exactly where we are now. And where we are now is standing in the most glorious to me. The most glorious time that has ever been in this world to me is right now. A time to understand the redemption of the body. Not have to depend upon the fact that it will go by the grave and have to come out. That's why I was saying there a while ago, I don't look for the rapture. Why? Because my Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. So I'm looking for the resurrection. The resurrection is my next thought of mine. See? A time to. Right? And that'll tie it together where we can stay in the whole thing. All right, get it what I'm talking about. The child may be heir of all things, but not able to claim anything in the right of what it's to be. Don't go out and hand your kids the key to the car. Right? Wait until they grow up. And then after they grow up, you sit down beside of them. And you say, that is a brake that stops it. That is a gas that moves it. Don't swap them. And say, so if you do, you get it. You know, all right. Am I serious? I'm a kid, but dead serious, right? You don't trust a child with those things. You wait until they grow up. And see, now you've heard the prophet say it like this. He said people will take a person off of the band floor playing the guitar and worldly music. Said the next day they'll have him in the pulpit preaching. He said, you don't do that. You don't put it that away. As I was saying this morning, you had no novice writing the word. Show me one novice. Show me one child writing the gospels. No. You have someone who has grown to maturity that knows what they mean. And that's so wonderful of Paul, that Paul had already these background behind him. The background of the scriptures. I thank God. You can say what you want to about anything. I thank God for my background. Because in my background, we studied things. We just didn't play around. We studied things. I didn't believe in I couldn't explain how the body part was, but I didn't necessarily believe we was going to get something different. You know, I couldn't explain it. There's a lot of that stuff I couldn't explain, but I at least had some knowledge of thinking. You might say, bless God, my old denomination's taught me wrong. They didn't teach you no more than what you wanted to be taught. Yeah. And don't blame them. You remember the other day when I was bringing out, Brother Branham says the denominations were the schoolmaster. Did you ever, any of you go home and look that up? He said the denominations was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. A teacher, a tutor, a raiser. Boy, they didn't raise me. They taught me wrong. Well, what about now? Yeah, all right. But now listen. A dispensation is like a time. All right? And the problem we think of it is we want to make it this way and let it stop. I don't believe that. That's why I believe Brother Brown didn't believe in that. He didn't believe in a dispensation where something goes off and stops. He believed in it continually opening up. I believe that the gospel, because Paul spoke of a dispensation of the gospel that was given unto him. And we know that's true because the Gentiles were... Paul was given to the Gentiles to bring the word of God. So you could say the dispensation of the Gentiles was in its leadership by the apostle Paul to bring forth the word.
That's right.
Okay. Then bringing it to that point, to everything there is a season. All right. So let's hold that in the dispensation, as he says, 1 Corinthians 9:17 said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather in one all things in Christ. Ephesians, I guess it's 2:32 or 3:32, excuse me. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, you know, the Gentiles. Whereof I am made a minister, Colossians 1, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to each one of us to fulfill the word. See? A dispensation, a time. a situation or a something that's to happen at that point to be able to, you to be able to follow into that line and come out of that with the right understanding. Okay? Amen. Now, trying to get to the point, a dispensation. Because Ecclesiastes is explaining that there's a time to, not far, there's a time to all things. All right? A point, a situation, something that you're to come to. All right? Now think about these things. The world, we ended up this morning talking about the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God from Hebrews 8, about 20, 21, right in there. All right? Talking about the time of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of the living God. That the whole world is groaning, waiting. Right? The whole world is groaning, waiting, according to Romans there, for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for a time that the children can come to the position to realize who they are and what we're doing here. You realize we're here to finish this up? If not, what's going to finish it? I'm saying, you know, I'm not throwing no slings, throwing it straight like it is. What's going to finish it? You say, well, it's this. Well, all right, it's still waiting on me and you. Because that can't come till this comes. You understand why he's Brother Brown's a dispensation, but he's not. It cannot come something over here until this here is made manifest for that to be able to build on. That's Hebrews 13:8. It has to keep unfolding. And that prophet, as he would try to bring forth to you and I the message of the last days in a dispensation of bringing. Do you know there was even a dispensation of John the Baptist? All of those things has dispensation. A time too that John the Baptist was to come on the scene and bring his message. There was a dispensation for Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7, as to all of that that would come in our day, in our time to turn the hearts back the things that are said in the Scripture. But now, are we going to just stop because we look at it now and say, well, that's 50 years ago. Did it stop? You don't believe in Hebrews 13:8 if it did. Can I put it that plain? Well, you say, well, it's just over with here and over with. You're not listening. That's not a time to. You got a time for something. And that's going to mess you up. Huh? See? Because we're living in a dispensation. Now remember my point a minute ago. Then a dispensation means one thing. That anything that is to be revealed into that period of time is part of that dispensation. All right, now listen. As I'm trying to get it, let's pick up the prophet and read just a little bit this afternoon. All right, because we all know who that what God sent to us to believe in what we try to preach and teach, that God sent a prophet to the last days. All right, so go ahead. Number two, we've done covered number one, talking about a sonship. Go ahead to number two, on adoption. You believe in dispensation? Bible said so. In the dispensation of the fullness of time. What is the fullness of time? There's been a dispensation of, well, there was a... Now, what is fullness of time? When time is fulfilled. That simple? What's the fullness of time? When time is fulfilled. When a dispensation comes to a closing out of that situation. All right, listen. What is the fullness of time? There's been a dispensation of, well... There was a dispensation of the Mosaic Law. There was a dispensation of John the Baptist. There was a dispensation of Christ. There's a dispensation of church organization. There's dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now follow each one and listen. Now's the dispensation of adoption. All right? Now's the dispensation of adoption. Now, this is not the dispensation of John the Baptist. Yet that fulfilled its day. And we wouldn't be here had that not come. Right? So he's still Hebrews 13:8. Now listen. There's a dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now it's a dispensation of adoption. What? The world's waiting, groaning. And when the fullness of time comes, when the dispensation of the fullness of time, what is that fullness of time? When the dead rises, when sickness ceases, when all the earth ceases to groan, the fullness of the dispensation of time. Now he's explaining what's going to bring time to an end. Well, it's just going to quit. Michael, watch, just quit. No. What is a dispensation? When it is fulfilled. When time is fulfilled. There was a time for John the Baptist. That was fulfilled. There was a time of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Right? That was fulfilled. That doesn't mean the Holy Ghost can't fall on us now. Right? Not saying that. It's all enclosed. But now is the dispensation of adoption. All right. Now then our concern should be of adoption. To find out about adoption. That should be our major concern if this is the time that is to take place. All right? See now how simple of what we were talking about this morning? Paul could understand it and bring it out. The child born into the family, then the child tutored, trained, but that's as far as Paul could go. Then he steps into bringing his message or his thoughts from what he was saying, and he starts taking it to deeper things, taking it to the resurrection, taking it to the change of the body. Do you understand what I mean? It's all will be involved in it. Do you know what's involved? You know what a dispensation of adoption would be then? Now listen, what would be a dispensation of adoption? And you'll see it covers all the way back, comes all the way down to where we're at. The dispensation of adoption would cover justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, see? All right. Then the tutoring and the training, all the way down. It would cover the ages and their time, because they were in the dispensation. They just didn't have it to understand. Paul and him understood adoption. That's my point. We look at it like, well, we don't understand adoption. That don't mean Paul and him did. I'm reading it to you. Paul and him understood adoption. Peter explained it as the stature of a perfect man. Paul explains it as adoption and the stages and what to be. All right. And see, then that's where our thoughts should be now, on adoption. Well, I don't want to know about that adoption. I just don't think that's important. Okay. If it ain't important enough for you to go in the change of the body, that's fine. If it ain't important enough for the resurrection, that's fine. You won't make it anyway. Is that blunt? Is that plain enough? Because if you ain't interested in something, you're not going to try. But see, the bride should be interested. Amen. We should be concerned about what these things are, or what it is to be these, or what they are. Right. Well, you just make it to be some kind of a mystery. I didn't say that. Your prophet did. That it was a mystery. So let's continue to go on. See? A dispensation of adoption. What? The world's groaning. Right? The world groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Right? But in the dispensation of the fullness of time, and we'll get to that on the next message. Because when something comes to a fullness of times, It means it is there in manifestation. Right? It means it's there. So now, what's my point? Not back, not forward. What's going on now? Brother Branham, what is this age that we're in? We're not in the dispensation of John the Baptist. We're not in the Mosaic Law dispensation. We're not into those dispensations. We're not even in the dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would have come on the day of Pentecost and then come in the last days to Azusa Streets and the thing. Where are we at? He said, we're in the dispensation of adoption. What the world's waiting. It's groaning. When the time, the fullness of time comes, when the dispensation of the fullness of time. What about it, church? But you see, we've dilly-dallied around, played around, and won't study the message. We won't be concerned with the message and believing it. He said, Brother Dale, we know, and you have the answer to this, you have the answer to that. The only answer that I have is what that prophet said, and you come and show me where I don't answer it according to the prophet. And that's where we'll just sit down right there. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what I've tried my best to do. Why me answer you something in my own thoughts when all I got to do is read the prophet? You would have been around when Brother Moat was here. When Brother Moat said Brother Brown believed in one God, he picked up the book and read it off the page. He was hearing for certain what it was. That's why I have this. I was hearing here a while back that a certain place said the church had started putting theirs up. And well, look, praise God if that's, you know, if it's what it is. Well, because that's what I believe in. All right. Now look what he says. That's what I said. You think he covers the dispensation. Let's go to number three. Try to get a point to number three, which is questions and answers in 57. Now the Gentiles, now watch. There's yet left 3.5 years into the Jews, okay? And Jesus said that the city of Jerusalem will be trodden by the Gentiles until the Gentile dispensation. Now you people that don't believe in dispensation, aren't you? What about that? Till the Gentile dispensation would be finished. And when the Gentile dispensation is finished, the time of the Gentiles is finished. What are you saying? What's he doing? He's telling you that there's a dispensation for all things. There's a dispensation or a time. And once that's fulfilled, then it moves on into something else. Okay, go on to the next one. I like this one. Because I like them all. Tell me, my brother. Tell me, my sister. When was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? Now, what about the Apostle Paul and him? You don't think they were a manifestation? You don't think he thought that? You don't think he didn't know that? What's the difference? This is the dispensation or the redemption of the body. This is the time this fella is involved. Not to try to get a new one, as I said, because that's what we were taught, see. I'm going to get me a new body. No, that's not according to Scripture.
That's right.
When Jesus raised, he had nail prints in his hands.
That's right. Amen.
That's Bible now. Read it. I didn't know it said that. Well, good, you'll go read it. See, that's tricks of the trade. What? To try to get you to read. Okay. You say, well, Brother Dale, I don't know whether that's right or not. Well, go read it and come prove me wrong. You know, that's what I like. See, that way we can get the whole thing. When was it to be outside of this time? When were there ever a time in the history this that manifest a time to deliver all nature. Nature. The nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of the manifestation. Why? before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before all the Old Testament, on down through there, there couldn't have been manifestation. Now, see, there couldn't be no baptism of the Holy Ghost until the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. It had to wait till this time. Now, all things has been brought, coming down, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of sons of God coming back, and the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it will join him and his church together. All right. Is that what it's supposed to be? It's supposed to be that. They're supposed to be a group of people. See? And I'm not throwing it. I'm just plain, okay? You say, Brother Branham done all that. Now show me where he did. When he said it would come in these men. I'm not, no argument. I have no argument with nobody because it ain't going to help nothing. It's just plain truth. I believe he was part of that. I believe he was the one that brought the message to you and I. Right. Praise God. Without that, him, we wouldn't be nowhere. But if we just sat down, you're not in the dispensation of adoption. But just sit down and pity-patter around and play, go to church and try to be good. All that's well and good, but Alcoholics Anonymous will make you a good person. Right? That's their goal, is to make you a good person. It's not my goal to try to make you a good person. You don't want me to be good? No. All right, I stop and pause. No, I don't want you to be good. Now, everybody that's been here for 10 years knows what the answer to that is. All right, but now to the stranger or not, I don't want you to be a good person. I want you to get born again. That'll take care of the whole thing. If you get born again, it'll take care of whether you're good or not. It'll change our whole lives and fit together, and we'll come out of it with the right attitudes and things and be in Christ to what he wants us to be. Because it's just try to get you to be good for me, that wouldn't do no good. Mm-hmm. All right, but just come on, church. Waiting the redemption of the body. Go ahead to number 6. What was the Holy Ghost given for? What is it? He's pouring out his Spirit. He's explaining it coming down how it would be. He said, then those who are resting out yonder in the grave, or under the altar of God, as the scripture says, are crying, how long? Lord, how long? How much longer? God's waiting on me and you. You mean God's waiting on me? Well, that's what he said. You want to race that out? God's waiting on you and me. He's wanting to see what we're going to do. Right. Why do you think we're here 50 years after the going of the prophet? Going into word 60 now. Why? Because he's trying us. Right. He's trying us to see what we're going to do. Amen. Right? He's tried to give us the tutor, the trainer, and everything, and try to give us the nature of the baptism of the Holy. Tried to do it. Now he's waiting on you and me. Waiting on us to what? Look. How much longer? God's waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Okay. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time. When God can pour into us his fullness, his power, his resurrection, that when the church and Christ become so close together till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead and we go into rapture. Now, do you believe that'll ever be fulfilled?
Yes, sir.
I believe it will.
Amen.
I've always looked for it. I believe it will. If I didn't believe it would, I'd really be messed up on my dispensations because I'd be trying to find out what I need to believe. I believe God's waiting on me and you.
Right.
He's letting this thing get bad. He's going to let it get real bad because he's waiting to see what we'll do. He sent it, according to Scripture, to try us.
Right.
Well, what should we do? Well, you know what? In the message, what they're doing, they're running here and they're running there, and this group's going there and that group's going there, and that's their business. I'm just saying they're running all over the country trying to find something. Instead of just sitting down and listening to the message.
Right. Amen.
Huh? And just leave it to where the message has the answer to all things. That we're waiting on us to where God can pour into us His fullness. Brother Branham, I didn't say it. Brother Branham said that the fullness of the Godhead bodily would be in the bride. Wait now, Brother Dale, that's getting a little bit too strong. Now you're trying to make us God. I ain't making us God. We are God. We're the offspring of God. We're the children of God. What's the problem? Well, you just didn't explain that to start with. Now I got a better idea. But you see, Brother Brown said the Godhead is not complete without you.
Right.
You need those quotes. We've given them over and over. The brothers in the back and found them for. But see, do we believe that? We're trying to find the last seed. Now, come on, I'm not against that. I'm for it. We send out money. We send missionaries. We send all things. We go. We do all kinds of things trying to find the last one. Yeah, we believe in it. But that ain't what I'm looking for. Because one thing for certain, when the last one is found, according to my understanding, and I'm open for you to correct me, according to my understanding, that person must come to maturity. Well, all right. You can find the last person. I'll do my best to try to preach the word to get them to a maturity.
Right.
That don't mean I ain't hunting them. I'm just answering the question. You find a person, we'll do our best to find something to teach that person the ability, because we got to come to a place. Because the world's waiting on you and me.
Right. Amen.
Right. Waiting. God's trying to place His church. Go ahead, number 7. Pull up number 7. I get to reading over here and I quit and I don't think about. Is that right? Waiting. God trying to place His church in position to manifest Himself. Getting one that He can work through like this. Say, there's my spirit flowing freely. There it is, that. I can work here. Get another one over here and place him. I can place him. Adoption. Placing. Manifesting. Taking him out here and put a ceremony on him. Visit him with an angel. I'm going to take these back up in the next message. But they're going to be some quotes. Don't you think that's what God done with Brother Branham?
Right.
Don't you think He took him out to Himself by Himself and visited him with an angel and gave him the word for you and me?
Right.
Well, now He's bringing it to the individual. So that's where you think, well, and all that ain't. Okay, go ahead. I can place him. Adoption, placing, manifesting. Take him out here and put a ceremony on him. Visit him with an angel. Tell him something. Now, if He's told the truth, and if He's just making up something, it won't work. No, that won't work. We've had a lot of that. But I mean manifestations of sons of God when God manifests Himself and He sends Him out, and then He goes forth and what He says is truth. Right? Listen. God sends Him out. Now, what was Brother Branham's definition of how that Jesus was sent? Are you listening? Brother Branham said Jesus was sent. But what was his definition? How did he define that took place? Then he puts it right to the church. And how is the church sent? You getting quiet? You listening? You want to know what the prophet had to say? He said the way God sent him, he went in him. Well, that you just got us all bung-fuzzled. Bung-fuzzled on what? God went in him. Jesus and God was the self-same person, or we done messed up in the Godhead somewhere. So he sent him. He went in him. He sent the church out on the day of Pentecost. He went in the church. Those disciples was Christ made manifest. Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. God came down and went in him.
Amen.
How is it right now? If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, then God came down, met with you in your soul, giving you eternal life, and sent you. Because he goes in you. Right? Hey, that makes me understand a little bit. Take him out and visit him. Tell him something. Huh? Prophet goes out into Arizona and God sent him. Right? Angels comes down. Now watch, we got to get real close to understand. Angels come down and visit a prophet. But this has been argued ever since I've been in the message. Of what did they tell him out there? He told you they did not tell him nothing. You want that? Said they told him to come back to Jeffersonville and it would be told him later. What would it be? God sent the man, and he went in him. That's what I look at. I look at it all to see, you know, Christ living in me and you. God waiting to get the church in order. He's waiting on you and I. May he grant his blessings. Let's go to number 9 now, and we'll get this point. And he said he made known to us the mystery. And I get the Spirit, he said, on you, and just watch that run through. All right. And I got to running, he's running his thought through. I thought, mystery. How mysterious. And the Scripture packed me back into the Old Testament. Then back over into the New Testament. Tied something together. See, the mystery of his coming. Great. The mystery of his will. The mystery of us sitting together. Remember, it cannot be taught in any seminary. It's a mystery. You cannot know it by education, by theology. It's a mystery that's been hidden since the foundation of the world. Are you reading? Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The word manifest, look it up when you get home, see what it means. Manifest means to make known. Look it up. It means to make known. Because that's what God wants. He wants it to be made known. He wants himself to be made known. It's a mystery. The mystery is to adopt us. There's going to be a people that will come to fulfill in their dispensation all things pertaining to adoption. And the last of all is the redemption of these bodies. What are you looking forward to, Brother Dale? I'm looking forward to the redemption of these bodies.
Right.
He said, when will this take place? I got them here. He said, in the resurrection. Waiting on a people that can understand. Now we're going to tap something and then back up, okay? The headstone has not come yet. That's what your prophet said. All right. Now, I've taught you and I believe it. What is the headstone to the church? The fully revealed word of God, which is the opening of those seven seals. That prophet went west, came back east. The angels met him daily and he brought the seals. There was the headstone to the church. But why you want to read Greer's Almanac or read this book or that book or study all these other things when it's been told to you your very headstone is the Word of God, and then you don't want to read it, or you won't read it. You won't take your time. Huh? At least old Brother Al, he'll call me up sometime. I'll be on something like that. He said, what should I read? I said, well, read this, 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 because that's kind of where my thinking is at. Well, it's a mystery. God's mystery is that he's going to redeem us. Do you listening? The mystery of God in the last days is the fact that he's going to redeem a people. He's not going to give us a new body. He's not going to go through things like that. It's going to be a redemption. And the world is waiting on you and I to manifest or make that known. The prophet made it known. He brought us the word. We're not looking for another messenger to come somewhere. No. We're in the dispensation. Now listen to what I'm talking about. That dispensation, I'm going to state it the best way that I can for our understanding. When the prophet began to bring the word about adoption, there was the beginning of the mystery of adoption. When he began to bring it out, because nobody had brought it out before. Oh yeah, they spoke about this or spoke about that. Like I said, we spoke of some of these things. But when he began to say, what did he say one day? He said, when you begin to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, he said, them denominations will swing together. Well, we've always looked for the denominations to swing together. Why don't we start saying, I and my Father are one? That's what the prophet said. Yeah, but we can't do it. We can't do that until he gives it to us. I ain't foolish, church. But I am one thing. This message, when it began to open to the prophet, you started a dispensation of adoption. He was back there in 55 and earlier talking about adoption. The biggest portion of his messages, hear ye him and things, was back in the 50s. He began to try to explain that. And he said, that's where you Pentecostals failed. See, they failed by not listening to him as to what he was explaining, that you must come to manifestation. You must come to adoption. You must come to the, instead of thinking you got it all. And that's why I warn every you and all of us, never become relaxed in Zion. You know, always be concerned and worried and looking forward. I look forward each day. Yes. I liked what Billy Graham said. He said, I look for him today or something. I might paraphrase it wrong. Pretty close. He said, if he don't come today, so he'll come tomorrow. He said, because I look for him. Well, do we look for him? Yeah. We're waiting for the fullness of adoption. This will take place when? That's the prophet saying it. At the first resurrection. When will this take place? At the first resurrection. We're watching for the fullness, waiting for the fullness of adoption. This will take place when? The first resurrection. That's when our bodies will be changed from these vile creatures that we are. We'll have a body like unto his glorious body. We'll see him as he is. Why? Because we'll be like him. When he appears, we appear in his likeness. We will have a body like his, a glorious, glorified body, and all the trials and struggles of life will fade off into a little mist and blow away to never be no more. And these earthly tabernacles which we now groan in, we're waiting for the earnest, that earnest, for the salvation fully in its fullness, in fullness to come. But now in these tabernacles of clay, we have something that tells us that we have raised up so far. Amen. Now you get the last point. Something has happened. If you have the new birth, something has happened to tell you what's going on, if you'll listen. We're in the days of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of the living God. What are we waiting on? The Bible says he's waiting on us. It doesn't say we're waiting on him. Right? Are we waiting on God? Oh, yeah, we're waiting on him to manifest this and that. Sure, we're waiting on him that way. But really, he's waiting on us. You realize what that means? He's waiting on us. What if he's waiting on you to call for it? What if he's waiting on you to do? What are you going to do? Like I was saying this morning, we've seen the dead raised, we've seen the sick healed. What if he's waiting on me and you to call for it? What are you going to do? You got a dead man laying on the back of a tractor, and you're looking at him and his eyes roll back. Wade said, Daddy, he's dead. We were way down in the woods working on deer hunting land. No way our cell phones wouldn't work or nothing. He said, Daddy, he's dead. I just looked down at him and I said, Randall! He just rolled his eyes. Said, yes, I am. I'll take you to his house, and he'll tell you he was dead. I've heard his testimony to sinners. He said, this man here prayed for me when I was dead. What are we waiting on? Have you not seen enough healings and signs and things to show? Have we not seen enough of the Word of God to at least to be able to say we're right here in the middle of it? I look forward each day to see what God is going to do. But what if he's waiting on you? Come on, musicians. What if he's waiting on you? Well, I don't have nothing. Nobody said anybody had anything. It's all in him. We give him the honor, the glory. And the... I got enough sense to know I could have stood there and hollered and screamed all day long. The man would have been buried. And I could have still been hollering and screaming. I stood in a hospital one day and looked out a window. I was there to pray for a lady. And I looked out a window. The lady's sister-in-law, I believe I'll get it right, but anyhow, she said, Brother Dale, has God ever spoke to you anything about her? I said, no, ma'am, except one thing. She's not going to live. He said, I said, yes, she's not going to live. Because that's what he showed me. 2 years, a few time later, the husband would come into a situation there and was on deathbed, and she would call me. Has God told you anything? I said, no, I told you, I'll tell you. But I said, I've got to say that by his stripes, he's healed. By the stripes of God, he's healed and he's going to live. I've got to say that until the day comes that you call me and tell me that he's already dead. I said, I can't say nothing else. She said, couldn't we pray for him to go ahead and die? I said, no. Because he was in such horrible, you know, horrible shape. I said, wouldn't it be humane? I said, no. But I said, when you call me and tell me he's dead, I'll tell the world he's dead. She called me one day and told me. Listen, church, why can't we just take what we see and speak it and move on? Sure, Richard, the family, they wanted me to go up and pray for their daddy. I wanted to, too. But when I got there, I couldn't find nothing. I prayed. I couldn't find nothing. Oh, I can pray. Sure. And I can believe. But I didn't pray that way. You know, I couldn't find the words, and I turned as I did before, looked out the window. Didn't say nothing, didn't pray. Just simply had the thought. Because the man had had a stroke in his right arm, right side, he couldn't move. All of us know about it. He's been that way for years, a few years with his right side, he couldn't move. We stood there and looked at him and prayed and talked. And I said, Lord, wouldn't it be something that he just come out of this and that other side start working? He said, oh, no, he didn't even. Come on, your God ain't great. Mine is. You know what he's doing now? Moving both arms. It'd be a great, great miracle to look at the man laying there. A few weeks ago, for us to look at him and see, and the doctor said, there's no way for him to live. You know. And yet, there he is today, both arms moving. He's wanting to go home. He wants a hamburger. He's talking. They took him off today or yesterday. When? Friday, they took him off the machine. You know, he's still with oxygen, right? But they took the ventilator type of thing off of him. A man that I had no hopes. No hopes. But now he's moving the right side. But he hadn't moved in years. Why can't we say, thank you, God? Yeah, but who prayed? I told you the other day, we get into all of that junk. Who prayed the prayer? What are you worried about? Who prayed the prayer? It's whether or not the prayer was answered. It's not who prayed the prayer when these little kids can pray. God can hear them and answer their prayers as quick as he can hear ours. Matter of fact, you probably hear them quicker. But you see, don't try to be in the future. And don't try to live in the past. Live right where we're at now. A God in the past, okay, great. A God in the future, great. But I want God now. To where he can live in you and me and manifest himself through us. And pray. And thank him for being what he is. I get up and walk through the house at night and just say, Lord, thank you. Just be with so-and-so. I'll just go down the line. You know, I'll go down the seats. Call your name. And just say, Lord, be with so-and-so. Be with them. Bless, bless, bless. You know, because that's just my way of doing it. I'm not a prayer warrior. I've never been that. I appreciate those that are. I've been with brothers that could pray 2 hours without stopping. I pray 10, 15 minutes, get up and sit down and read my Bible. That's me. That's just the way I am. But I have seen him answer a few prayers. And I know that, so I thank you. But what about it? Where are you living at? What did I tell you to start with? Our thought was going to be not a past, not a future, but where we are. Well, the dispensation of adoption has been going on now since the prophet came on the scene. It started a dispensation of adoption. It didn't end when the prophet went off the scene. It went into where the manifestation of the sons and daughters of the living God would call for it. Why can't you do that? Let's stand. What we got, brother?
Page 161, key of F, Day of Redemption.
Let's stand in this. Anybody have a need?
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. For the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The fig tree is growing, Jerusalem's restoring, her national life long dethroned. Today she is calling. Her ladder rains falling. Return
Kuwait, all that started coming to an end. They started pulling their forces out. Well, it was bad, didn't it?
If it was what you think going to take place. Redemption is near.
When Jerusalem is compassed about on all sides, the Bible says. What are they doing now? We're sending our forces right back into those countries.
Be filled with the Spirit. Your lamps trimmed and clean.
Put them right back where they were. Natural things are taking place. But what are we worried about the natural?
Are shaking, and many are mistaking.
It's the spiritual.
Meaning to be of the sky.
Anybody have a need? Just come and let's believe.
God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is now. Is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit. Your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying. God's truth they're denying, that Jesus, the Christ, is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. For the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near.
I thought adoption was going to be this, and it will be. But don't never make it so big you can't attain it. But don't never make it so little till you'll fall off and miss it. Make it to be what God says it is. The greatest thing that could have ever happened in life or could ever happen is right now taking place among the bride of Jesus Christ.
Come into the position in God's Word to realize redemption. You could not have redemption without the opening of those seven seals, because that is the plan of redemption. But what are we?
Father, we thank you for this day, and we just ask you to go now with us as we go on our way home. Be with everybody, Lord, and just help us all. Your love and your grace. Forgive our sins and guide us and keep us. Be waiting them traveling back, and anyone, Aaron and them different ones, Lord, and just bless and guide each one. Have your way. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
For the day of redemption is near.